the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Gospel we have heard this morning about the rich man and Lazarus is one I'm sure most of us are familiar with. Just to assuage any doubts I might have, how many of you are not familiar with this Gospel reading? So I can assume that you're being honest with me and therefore are familiar with it. The origin of this Gospel does not originate with our Lord. Certainly, he makes adjustments to the story of the rich man and the poor man, but the story itself originates in its basic form in Egypt and is received by Judaism and undergoes another transformation, and our Lord uses what is familiar to his audience, originating in Egypt, being further developed in Judaism, so as to share and reveal something about God and his relationship to us and our relationship to God. Let me ask a question that might appear to be a trick question. It's not a trick question. What is this parable about? If we are familiar with it, hopefully we have heard our deacon, who has a very strong voice and read the pericope very carefully. What is this parable about?
The rich man and the poor man.
About hearing the word of God. So, yes, we put that in one column.
Repentance.
We put that in another column.
Mercy
and
seeing what's around you.
Seeing what is around you. Let's try to be even sharper. If you were to produce a pantomime of this account we have heard this morning, okay, so we're not using any words, but saw the actions of the two main characters, the rich man and Lazarus, what would come to our minds? Carl mentioned mercy.
Regret.
What else?
Awareness.
Awareness. Carol mentioned being able to see what is around us. But I think we are missing a very fundamental word, and that is philanthropy. What is philanthropy? What is philanthropia? Love of humanity, the love of man. Not only just poor people, but all people. It's interesting that in Byzantium there were two marks that distinguish the emperor. Philanthropia, okay, evsevia, the emperor's love for humanity and his holding the true faith, being one who is bound to true piety. Philanthropy is something fundamental to the Christian faith, fundamental to our relationship to God and to our relationship to ourselves. Now keep in mind that the word philanthropy does not appear at all in this morning's reading, nor does the word mercy appear in this reading. So we don't have the word philanthropia in the Greek text, we don't have the word eleemosyne in this text, but it is made clear that there is, because of the interaction or lack of action between this rich man and Lazarus, that philanthropy occupies a very fundamental, central part of this reading. Why is philanthropy important? Why is the love of humanity important?
Humanity is important.
Karen.
It's the title of Christ. It's the title of Christ, lover of mankind.
Lover of mankind. So there is a divine connotation to this term. Divine human, the person of Christ. God is the lover of mankind, and that love is revealed supremely in the incarnation of his Son, who comes into the world, who takes upon himself our sin and our death. And as I mentioned in the past, Lazarus himself is a kind of Christ figure. He is the miserable one. He is the outcast. He is the poor one. He is the suffering one. But there is one major difference between Lazarus and our Lord. What is that major difference? Our Lord voluntarily assumes those characteristics. Lazarus does not. Lazarus is miserable, forgotten, lonely, poor, suffering, not because he chose it. This is his position in life, in culture. So philanthropy is a characteristic of God. What else is it? Like Christ, when we are able to love mankind, and by the way, this is not in a very to be taken superficially. When we speak about loving God and neighbor, it is to be taken with the utmost seriousness, that we give ourselves, that we offer ourselves to God and to the other. So philanthropy is not, you know, writing out a check and sending it to my favorite charity. That can be an expression or part of my philanthropy. But what is the core of my philanthropy? By the way, I don't have to be Christian to be altruistic. What distinguishes Christian philanthropy from any other philanthropy?
Giving ourselves.
Giving ourselves to God and to the other. The giving of the self to the other. And the other is God and those around us, those we see. There is also the dimension of prayer and philanthropy. And I want to share two quotations. The first comes from St. John of the Ladder. John Climacus. It is his step 28. And he speaks about the relationship between mercy and almsgiving and prayer, and how the two are bound together. Mercy. Eleemosyne. Mercy or almsgiving is prayer's assent. Unless you Bostonians make this assent in prayer through mercy and almsgiving, you will not be able to ascend on high. We will not be able to make that ascent from glory to glory. We will not be able to make that ascent into the very life of God. And then he continues, for just as fire is extinguished unless it has oil, so also with prayer, unless it is fueled by mercy, it too will be extinguished. It too will disappear. So prayer and philanthropy are inseparable. If we dare to pray to God, it presupposes that we not only have a love for Him, but because we have a love for Him, we have a love for those around us, particularly those in need. St. John Chrysostom goes further. In his second homily, in his 20th homily on 2 Corinthians, so this is a homily that he gave prior to going to Constantinople, so he was still a presbyter at this time. He addresses the Antiochians by pointing to two altars. On the table we are all oriented to, and there is another altar table. Where is that altar table? Does anyone know?
Inside us.
It is a sign of really the genius and the depth and the connection Chrysostom had with humanity. Where is the other altar? There are two altars in the church. This is the second altar. The altar of human flesh and blood. Listen to Chrysostom's words. And you, you Bostonians, you Antiochians, you venerate, here he speaks about the stone altar. We have a wooden altar. You venerate the altar when the body of Christ descends on it. But the other altar, comprised of the faithful, and which is the body of Christ. Here is the body of Christ. You neglect and remain indifferent. This altar of the people, of the faithful, you can see raised up everywhere, in the lanes of public places, and at every hour you can offer sacrifice on it. He speaks about our priestly ministry, our royal priestly ministry. He speaks about offering ourselves to the other who is in the lane in the public places, particularly the poor. And as the priest stands at the altar, calling down the Spirit, you also do the same. How do we call down the Spirit? You call down the Spirit as oil poured out in abundance. Why does Chrysostom use oil? First of all, there's a medicinal dimension to oil, healing dimension to oil. You do the same. You call down the Spirit as oil poured out in abundance. The priest calls down the Spirit by his voice. The faithful call down the Spirit through works. Philanthropia, the love of mankind, the love of humanity, has a liturgical dimension to it. And that's why our liturgy, which we celebrate as we gather here, never ends. It never ends because we continue, are called to continue to have union and communion with the other. Our presence here presupposes a love for the other, a service to the other. Now, as the last point, what happens when there is no philanthropia, when there is no love of mankind in our hearts and minds? What do we know about this rich man prior? The text says he is buried, he is entombed. What is happening to this man before he is put in the grave? He's dying. How is he dying? He sees, but he cannot see this man Lazarus at his gate. He hears, but he cannot hear the voice of Lazarus crying for alms, crying for help. He is able to touch, he is able to feel, but he cannot feel the pain and hunger of his brother. He can taste, and yet he cannot taste the fact that this man, his brother, is suffering and in pain and is lonely. He can smell the delicious food served to him, and yet he cannot smell the putrefaction of this man outside his gate, covered in sores, being licked by dogs. This man is already dead before the tomb. Without philanthropia, without love for the other, without this liturgy of philanthropia, we too are already dead. Our senses have been closed off. Our mind and heart have become closed. The heart has become hard, and we are unable to live as God has intended us to live. That is, in union, in communion with the other. So, brothers and sisters, we hear something marvelous. We hear how we, as priests, are called to extend this worship into the world, for the life of the world, and its salvation. Amen.